Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Let me remind you where we started and where we are going. We were actually in Quran chapter 17 as we discovered that there was an invented miracle by so-called Muslim scholars of old concerning Quran chapter 17 and verse 1. And that is when we read in the Quran, "Praise be to him who took his servant by night from the forbidden mosque to the furthest mosque." Muslim scholars claim that that verse is speaking of Muhammad, how Allah took him from one place, that is in Mecca, to another place further away, and they said that is actually Jerusalem, and then Allah took him from Jerusalem to the seven heavens back to where he started in Mecca. That is when Muhammad made a deal with Allah about the number of prayers with the help of Prophet Moses, and the number was cut from 50 to 5. This is what I call invented interpretation. Why is that? Because the verse itself does not give these details. We do not know who is that servant and how he was able to ride on his mule to Jerusalem and to heavens and back to earth. In simple words, the verse was given in ambiguous words without any details. Now, Muslims use that story to say, hey, if Allah said that in the Quran, that means that Muhammad performed other miracles. That's why you see Muslims inventing not just hundreds, but thousands of miracles. Muhammad did this and Muhammad did that. And when the people of the West hear these lies, they think of Muhammad to be just as good or even better than Jesus. But we were shocked to discover from the reading of the Quran that every time the people in Muhammad's day, these are the Palestinians, the Jews and the Christians, asked Muhammad to perform a miracle so that they may believe in him. Every time they did that, Muhammad come up with one excuse or another. Even in the same chapter, we're talking about Quran chapter 17 and verse 59. Here's what Allah said, "And nothing prevent us from sending the signs or the miracles except that the ancients denied them." So there were plenty of excuses given from Allah to Muhammad in the Quran to answer the request about performing signs. Once again, in the same chapter, that is chapter 17, verses 90 to 94, we read the following, "And they said," and they here are all the infidels, those who did not believe in Muhammad in his day, "We will not believe you until you gush a spring from the earth or a garden of palm trees and grapes will be yours. So you gush the rivers gushing through it, or you make the heavens to fall on us in pieces as you claim, or you bring Allah and the angels to face us, or you have a highly embellished house, or you ascend to the heaven." Notice here, that is one of the signs or the miracles which we read, that is Muhammad to ascend to the heaven. And Muhammad did not say, "Well, I just did it in verse 1. No, continue to read. "And we will not believe in your ascension until you send down on us a book," we read. So even a book, that is the Quran, did not exist at the time when Muhammad was reciting the verses of Quran chapter 17. But here is the answer. What is so amazing? Allah said, "Say." Allah is giving Muhammad to answer all these requests about all these miracles which people want to see one of them for Muhammad to perform so they can believe in Muhammad. Allah said what? Allah said to Muhammad to say, "Praise be to my Lord. Was I except a human messenger?" So Muhammad did not answer the request of his people such time to say that I did perform a miracle. I was ascended to heaven. And here is my book, the book of the Quran. No. None of that exists. That is internal evidence in Quran chapter 17 that the Muslims claim that Muhammad performed some miracle by ascending to the seven heavens does not have any truth at all. Add to that, The other excuses Muhammad gave. He was only a warner. Only Allah has the signs and the miracles. And as we mentioned earlier, when Allah sent signs and miracles before on previous prophets or messengers, people did not believe in. But we examined the Quran in our study and we discovered that other people performed miracles in the Quran, like Moses. And because he performed his miracles, people did believe in him. Not only the Jewish people who followed him from Egypt to the promised land, but even the magicians, the Egyptians, who normally do not believe in any God. They believed in Moses and they became Muslims and they actually asked Allah for them to be kept in Islam even to death. What about the miracles of Jesus in the Quran? In the Quran, Muhammad said that Isa, son of Mary, did perform miracles. For we know in Quran chapter 3 and verse 49 and Quran chapter 5 verse 110 that Muhammad declared, yes, Isa will perform great miracles, but that is only by Allah's permission. And what were these miracles? These miracles show four of the attributes of Allah. Isa creates, Isa healed the sick, Isa raised the dead, and Isa was able to know what is hidden. These are simply very important attributes of Allah. But somehow, Isa was able to receive these attributes by Allah's permission. But when we examine the Quran, we could not find one of these miracles actually were performed by Isa, son of Mary. That's why we went back to the Bible to read about the miracles of Jesus. And the number of the miracles which were recorded in the New Testament was 37. And we discovered none of these miracles were performed because Isa, son of Mary, prayed to Allah, asked him for permission. But from the Bible, we learn that Jesus did all his miracles by his own power, by his own authority. Or sometimes you see this attachment to the performing of the miracles, like the forgiveness of the sin of those who were sick. Or sometimes even Jesus did these miracles without anyone asking for it. But he did it simply because he was filled with compassion to those who were dead or needed the help. Then I decided to move on in our study to make it an equal and a just way to compare Muhammad to some other prophets in the Bible who were not Jesus Christ, just simply true prophets in the Old Testament. And we picked up, obviously, as we talked about Moses, we talked about Elijah and Elisha. And we discovered that these are also were powerful men of God who performed their miracles. And as we discovered from the Bible that Prophet Elijah performed 7 miracles and Prophet Elisha performed 14. As he received double portion of the power of Prophet Elijah. And even when we looked at the miracles of these true prophets of God, we see that sometimes they prayed and sometimes they did not pray because obviously God gave them the power to do so. Now we're going to move in our study to the New Testament. After the resurrection of our Lord and his ascension, his disciples also performed miracles. And this astonishing verse I'd like to share with you about the level of the miracles of the disciples of Jesus when we compare it to the miracles of our Lord himself. You see, in the book of Luke chapter 9, we read, then he, that is our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. So what do we learn here? We learn that the disciples of Jesus received the gift of healing by Jesus. In verse 2, we read, he sends them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Who is the sender? Our Lord Jesus, whom he sent his disciples. What they did? They cast demons and brought healing to the sick people. In verse 6, we read, so they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Then after that, we read that Jesus fed the 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, by the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. Then we know that Peter confessed who Jesus Christ is by saying, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Then in verse 28, we know that the Lord took Peter and John and James and went to the top of the mount. And there he changed and appeared in his glory. And Moses and Elijah joined him. Then in verse 37, we know that Jesus healed the young man who was demon-possessed. Then we move to chapter 10 in the book of Luke. Now Jesus sent more people to perform miracles. And this time we read about Jesus sending 72 men. Two by two, he sent them. As we read, after these things, the Lord appointed 72 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Why did he send these 72? It is to do the same thing which his 12 disciples did, to preach the gospel of Jesus and to perform miracles, to cast demons and to heal the sick. And listen what he said when they returned in verse 17 of Luke 10. Then the 72 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So yes, in the New Testament, we read about the disciples of Jesus and the other messengers whom Jesus sent performed miracles. They healed the sick and cast demons in Jesus' name. That is the difference between Jesus performing miracles by his own power, by his own authority, and his disciples after him who performed the miracles, and the messengers, the Christians who came after him to perform the same miracles, but even greater, as we're going to see in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 12. It is because he did it in Jesus' name.
Have you always wanted to read exactly what the Quran teaches, but didn't know which translation you could trust? Most English versions of the Quran have glossed over many of the troubling passages and sugar-coated the violent and immoral teachings written within Islam's holiest book. After years of careful translation, with assistance from scholars around the globe, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry is pleased to offer the single most accurate modern English version of the Quran ever produced. This study Quran is packed with valuable resources such as detailed study notes for the reader, comments and references regarding the many errors and contradictions in the Quran, careful comparisons with biblical accounts borrowed and corrupted by Muhammad, information regarding the original sources that Muhammad adopted, highlights of non-Arabic words and idioms within the text of the Quran, a detailed table of biblical prophecies about Jesus, and a clear presentation of the evidence for the Bible with a powerful gospel invitation. This modern English translation will equip you with the knowledge you need to reach those lost in the darkness of Islam. Visit us online at www.thestraightway.org to order your copy today. Case discounts are also available. The Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. Please contact us at 941-223-1703. And now, back to our show.
Now let us look. In the book of John, chapter 14, verse 12, we read, Most assuredly, I say to you, He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Continue in verse 13, we read, And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Can you imagine that? Muhammad, the greatest prophet, the final messenger of Allah, could not perform one miracle. But the disciples of Jesus and the Christians who believe in Jesus can perform greater miracles. All what they have to do is to believe and to perform all these miracles in Jesus' name. Now let's go to the book of Acts, which is the new church, which was birthed just after the ascension of our Lord. In the book of Acts chapter 2, to read about some of the miracles which were performed by the disciples of Jesus and by other believers in the New Testament. You have to understand now that this took place after the ascension of our Lord. In the book of Acts chapter 3, we read from verse 1 about a story of a man who used to sit at a gate is called Beautiful. That is the place where beggars would sit to collect money from those who enter the temple. It was in the ninth hour when Peter and John went to the temple to pray. Well, that man asked them if they would give him some alms. But Peter did not give him any alms because simply he did not have silver or gold. As we read in verse 6, then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I gave you." And listen carefully, my dear Muslim friends. It was not Peter performed miracle by his own power or by his own strength, but it was in the name of Jesus. As we read, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What a great miracle. But it was performed simply in the name of Jesus. Who is that Jesus? Oh, just some prophet, some good teacher, or some good man. No, he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, as Peter himself confessed, as we read earlier, by declaring the truth that Jesus is not but the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then we continue to read in verse 7, "And he," that is Peter, "took him," that is a beggar, "by the right hand and lifted him up." And immediately, when? Immediately. What happened? His feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, that is the beggar, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. How many people saw that miracle? Nobody, like the miracle of Muhammad ascended to the seven heavens. No. In verse 9 we read, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God." That is a miracle performed in the New Testament by the Apostle Peter and the Apostle John. And it was performed by the power, by the strength, by the name of Jesus Christ. Obviously, I do not believe that the scripture in the book of Acts recorded for us all the miracles which the apostles of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ performed. I give you an example of that. In the book of Acts chapter 5 and verse 12, we read one simple sentence which states, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch." Did you notice here? Not just few miracles, but many wonders and miracles were performed by the hands of the disciples of our Lord. Now we ask a question. Why the disciples of Jesus performed these miracles? Is it just showing off? No. It is very simple to support the message which they were teaching. And what was the result of these miracles? It's very simple. The church grew all over the world. Let me read to you the following verses. In the book of Acts chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, we read, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord multitudes of both men and women." In verse 15, "So that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." You see what's happening here? That is the miracles to support the messages which the disciples of Jesus were teaching. And what was that message? It is a message of the gospel. And what is the gospel? It is the good news. And what is the good news? Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God Almighty, who came in the flesh. And he died, and he was buried, and he rose again on the third day. As these disciples who performed these great miracles were witness of that. How did they support that new teaching? It is by the performance of the miracles. Under what name did they perform these miracles? It is in the name of the risen Savior, God Almighty, who came in the flesh, our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that was the beginning of the church. Thousands believed and added to the body of Christ. We know, obviously, after that the Jewish people began to persecute the Christians, and they actually killed some of them. That's why the church went out of Jerusalem to the rest of the world. The opposite of the message of Islam. Muhammad did not perform any miracles. His followers did not perform any miracles, and they spread Islam by the edge of the sword. Read the verses of the Quran. Read the hadith, which is the sayings of Muhammad. Read the biography of Muhammad as it is written by the followers and the companions of Muhammad. Some may say, well, these miracles in the New Testament by the followers of Jesus and his disciples are just simple miracles. Perhaps it happened by luck, and after all, it's not a big deal. Let me share with you another important miracle. We read in the book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning from verse 36. We're talking about a young lady by the name Tabitha, who did many good works. She was actually a disciple. She was a believer. And one day, she got sick, and she died. So they washed her body and put her in the upper chamber. This miracle took place in a village near Java. Now the disciples heard that Peter was in Java. So they sent two men asking him to come quickly to them. In verse 39 of Acts chapter 9 we read, "Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the tunics and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them." In verse 40 we read, "But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he called the saints and widows, he presented her alive." That is a miracle of raising the dead. How did Peter perform that miracle? He just simply prayed. How did Peter pray? He prayed to the Father in Jesus' name. And that is the fulfillment of the promise of Jesus. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, it will be given to you. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.